It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 340, entitled I Hate the Term Sides. It was recorded on Monday the 14th of July, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by Michelle Frechette, by Tammy Lister, and by Peacher Neri. At the beginning of the podcast, we get into a few bits and pieces that the guests have brought. So, for example, we get into the WP world and the fact that they are gamifying the platform over there. We talk about a new show being conducted by Peacher and Michelle. We also talk a little bit about maintainers. You can find all of the links in the show notes, but it's stories about open source maintainers, and it's available as a PDF or an ebook. It really, really is very interesting. It's the kind of thing that you can dip in and out of, and it will give you some solace when you are not feeling healthy about a particular project in the open source community. You can dip into stories and find some truly inspirational stuff. We then get on to the WordPress bits and pieces. 6.9 is looking for volunteers. 6.8.2, there's a release candidate for that. We also talk about the fact that Matt Mullenweg has recently said that there was a lot of community feedback which led him to begin the brouhaha with WP Engine back at WordCamp US in September 2024. There's a fabulous new initiative, at least I think it's fabulous, a contribution internship program. It's starting with the University of Pisa, but the hope is to spread it more widely. The panel have got some different thoughts on that. There's a few non-WordPress specific events that are being launched, one in Helsinki and one in Sydney. And we also have a long talk about unactivated WordPress contributors. Maybe that is the story of today. Anyway, there's loads for you to digest, and it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello, hello, hello there. It is Monday the 14th of July, and it's This Week in WordPress. We do this every Monday. Well, mainly we do it every Monday, unless something has come up or I've got, you know, like a trip or a family holiday or something like that. This is number 340, which means we've done it rather a lot. And each week we sit here and we go on about WordPress and various other things. We've got a few other bits and pieces to talk about today, but it would be dreadful if it was just me. It would be like mind-numbingly tedious. So to remove the tedium, I'm joined by three other people. And as Michelle Frechette is so at pains to point out, quite often it is a bunch of blokes, and this week it's different. So I'm quite pleased about that. And although Michelle's changing it a bit. You look like something from a 1930s sort of cop movie or something.
Hercule Poirot, perhaps.
Yeah, Hercule Poirot. And there we go. There's our first person that I'm going to introduce today. It's Michelle Frechette. She's joining us. She's our co-host for today. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good. Thank you once again. You're here ever so often, and I truly appreciate it. Let me just give Michelle the bio. Michelle is the executive director of Post Status, and in addition to her work there, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers and WP Career Pages, author and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. She lives outside of Rochester, New York, where she is an avid nature photographer. And the URL, which you can use to contact her in all scenarios and learn all about the other ones, is meetmichelle.online. We're missing something there, I feel, aren't we? There was something that we brought up a couple of weeks ago that you had started.
Oh, I need to update it because we have sponsormewp.com is another new one, and speednetworkonline.com is another new one. Things I've been, just projects I've been working on. Yeah. And I don't know how public it is now, but I'm also, I think we're smithing the title a little bit, but program director for WP Includes. So I'm working on the next cohort.
Oh, there you go. Now it's very public. Yeah. So it certainly is. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And joining us over there, Tammy Lister. Hello, Tammy.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really good. I love how we do this. Like, we've only just started talking. We've been gassing on for a good 20 minutes.
And I learned things about Wimbledon I never knew.
Wimbledon. And, oh, before you joined the call, Michelle, we went through a whole list of kids' TV programs.
Which is
always good. In the UK, we had this shared thing. Like, unlike in America, and maybe it was different in Italy or Spain, wherever you were at the time, Peter, there was basically a very, very tiny limited palette of telly you could watch.
So you can literally say, like, this program, and you yes, and you can list, like, 20 programs and everyone knows.
You'd come to school and you'd talk about the same exact TV program because that was the only thing on offer. And it was really nice, actually. It was really good because you'd always go through the same conversation. There we go. Tammy is a product engineer and tinkerer. She is the co-founder of Gildenberg, and a poker of pixels and a flow herder in core. Oh, I like that. That's very poetic. She writes more frequently now at binatethoughts.com. We might see that on the screen a bit later. When not making or helping others create products, she spends time creating art and wondering how many wild bunnies are too many to have in her field. What do they do? Do they, like, destroy things?
They exist.
Really?
How dare they?
What did you say?
How dare they? Yeah. How dare they exist?
I know. So the village I'm in is kind of known for its bunnies. So you literally will get people walking past. It has thatched cottages as well, but you get people walking past and just doing this double take. So it's a field and you just see wild bunnies. They do a lot of sunbathing at the moment.
Yeah.
So you can't grow anything. Otherwise you have like a Mr. McGregor problem. But they just exist. I think there was like 20 the other day.
Oh, that's quite a few. Yeah, we have near us, we have this roundabout. So we call that like
any roundabout.
Yeah, this circular junction type of thing. I know that in the US, you know, the roundabout. No.
Yes.
It's an ordinary roundabout, but we call it the rabbitabout because, like, on it, it's pretty big. And on it is this little, really thriving colony of rabbits. But they're, because it's just road everywhere, they're basically isolated. And I'm guessing that predators don't feel that confident walking over like three lanes of time.
Clever rabbits.
This perfect outdoor existence. Anyway, I never knew we were getting to that today. But thank you, Tony. Thank you. And finally, last but by no means least, Peach and Eri. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to have you.
I actually just mentioned the magic roundabout before you mentioned the bunny about. So that's why I said, is it magic though?
Because
talking about these programs, we had it as well.
I didn't connect with the TV program thing because there's also a magic roundabout in Hemel Hempstead, which is the devil's own creation. It's like seven roundabouts joined into one. And I thought you were meaning that. And that's not going to get talked about on this show because that thing is pure evil. anyway, there we go.
And we're here to talk about bunnies.
And the weather and the magic roundabout. Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Peach and Eri helps agencies, businesses, designers, and developers thrive and win on the web by putting their users at the center of their process. She does this as a UX and accessible design consultant on projects, as a course provider, trainer, coach, and workshop leader. She speaks at conferences globally on UX and accessible design. Peach's current main focus is on balancing creativity and accessibility without sacrificing either. And so there's us four, and there's also you lot in the comments as well. And in all honesty, the show, whilst it's fabulous to talk to these three people, it's way better when comments come in. It's really nice getting your perspectives on things. That usually begins with people telling us what the weather's like. You know, that's how it goes. And here we go. Influence WP. So Ryan's joining us. He says it's sunny in and mild in Charlotte, NC, North Carolina. Yes? No? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, great. US, thank you for joining us. Courtney Robertson's given us a variety of emoji. Oh, coffee, cloud, crying, and a hand wave. Oh, I'm guessing it's
hot.
Not.
It's still hot.
Okay, it's too hot.
That's a sweating hot, yeah.
Michelle's telling us where she is. It's 76 degrees in that meaningless unit of measurement, 24
well,
in the
I gave you the
one.
Other.
Yeah, no, it's, and I'm glad.
I gave you both.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I'd never get it. Max is saying hi. Thank you. Andrew Palmer's joining us. Hello, WordPressers. Hello, everyone, says Peacher. Dave Gray, topped off. Oh, Neighbours. Neighbours was an Australian TV show that we took in, and for some reason it really did get in intravenous into the consciousness of the UK. I don't quite know how it happened because it was trash, but everybody loved it. Courtney's saying, kids programming from the UK, can we get some Sarah and Doc here? That's not one I'm familiar with, but I'm guessing that was a popular TV show in the US. Peacher says the Magic Roundabout. Tim's arriving at the point of Bonnie's. Yes. Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Tim. Patricia's joining us. Hello. Something about me saying Pictionary. No, I don't think I said Pictionary. I probably said Peachy. Ah, Tim. Yes. Hemel Hempstead and Swindon. There you go. These are the original Magic Roundabouts, the junction I was on about. Pictionary, says Peacher, is one of my favorite spellings of my name. What? Pictionary is one of my favorite spellings of my name and surname, Andrew.
Pictionary.
Very, very many.
So dense. I didn't get that at all. That makes perfect sense.
Are you with us now?
Yeah, I'm with you now. Okay. So if you've got any favorite TV programs from your childhood that you want to drop into the comments, that would be nice. But also, as the show progresses, feel free to just drop anything in and we'll try to raise them. And you three, the guests on the show, if you see any that you want to yell about, that's fine. I often miss them because I'm just concentrating on what I'm saying. So please bring those to our attention as well. So, okay, let's get stuck in. So this is us. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy subscribing to what we do, you'll get a couple of emails each week. One, when this episode is pushed out as a podcast, that'll be tomorrow, usually at about 7 in the morning. God knows why I decided on that. But I stuck to it forever, and I'm not letting out my cold, dead hands. 7 a.m. tomorrow, you'll get that. And then the more sensible 1 p.m. on a Thursday is when we drop the regular podcast. What is the regular podcast, I hear you cry? No, I don't. Never mind. It is this. It is 428 episodes of pure WordPress joy. And in the most recent episode, we spoke to Katie Keith all about a new product that they haven't acquired, but they've partnered with. It's called Settery, and it enables you to bulk edit your WooCommerce stuff. It's very interesting, a really interesting thing that they've collaborated in. You can obviously go to each individual episode and hit play and enjoy it. That one's about 50 minutes long. Also, if you didn't know, I'm lucky enough to be the person responsible for the WP Tavern podcast, and we're on to episode 176 over there. And I chatted at WordCamp Europe a few weeks ago to Hector de Prada, who is very, very active in the Spanish community. And he has set up a meetup. Well, he hasn't set up, I think it was going, but he's kind of taken custodianship of a meetup in Leon. It feels like Spain is the, apart from India, it feels like Spain is the hotbed of WordPress community at the moment. And he gives the story on like what's going on there. And it's really interesting. In the UK, it feels like it's coming back, actually. I think Brighton is about to reemerge from the hiatus after COVID. But essentially, most of it went away and very little of it has come back. So anyway, there you go. Go and check that out as well. And then what we've decided to do, it was Michelle's idea and it was a good one. She said it's nice to get the guest stuff at the front of the show. We always used to bulk it towards the back of the show. And it often got missed. Yeah, and we always ran out of time, basically. So we're going to put the stuff at the beginning. And so it might be something that they have created themselves, or very often it's just stuff that they have seen out on the web, which might be WordPress or not. And Michelle, this was you, right?
Yeah, so Marcus Burnett, I'm sure everybody knows Marcus. He's been doing some amazing things with the WP world. And some of them are because people you know, put in requests for features. And I'm not sure if this was a feature request or not, but I think gamification, I love gamification. I am, you know, 1600 days into learning Spanish because I refuse to lose my streak in Duolingo. So I also happen to be number one on the leaderboard, as you can see.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I didn't notice
mostly that. Because I actually use the platform. So if you are on the WP World and you go in and you know, check off all the places that the WordCamps you've been to and connect to all your things, you could probably overtake me on the leaderboard quite easily. I think people really need to kind of lean into that and do those kinds of things. But yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's great. If you look at anybody's particular profile, you'll see their badges there as well. And he's just done some really fun things with it.
So the WP World, as we know, Marcus has been on the show many, many times, but he's mm-hmm. decided, I'm guessing this is probably like couple of years, more than 2 years old, like two and a half, 3 years old. WP World is a really fabulous
resource.
It's not resource.
Though, because
is it not?
Nobody can have the 2 year presser yet because it hasn't been around for.
Okay.
I don't have the two. I don't, Marcus doesn't have the 2 year presser.
Oh, yet, so the 2 year presser is related to your time on the WP World, not your time
yes.
involved in. Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yes.
So if you're keen to, like, I don't know, be kept updated, because he sends regular emails out, be kept updated about jobs, if you want to be kept updated about events, and basically he's trying to corral the WordPress community, which is really admirable. So it's the WP.world. And in order to do that, they've decided to gamify it a little bit. So for example, you can get badges, 1 year, 2 year presser, 3 year presser, badge collector, business casual, camp hopper. I'm just reading some off the screen. Event critic, fashion icon. I feel this is never one I'm going to win.
All you have to do is purchase something from the WP World shop.
Oh, okay. That's not quite, I thought I maybe had to look good, in which case that was out of the question. Recap raconteur, say cheese WP, and others. And the idea, I guess, here is just to make your experience on the website a bit fun. All of that aside, seriously, if you haven't done it, go to thewp.world, go and sign up. There's a, you know, it may be something that you really get stuck into. It may be something which is, you know, useful at the point of attending an event or something like that. But it's really well thought out and a really nice community initiative. And they're seeking sponsorship at the moment. I don't know. They certainly have a lot of sponsors. Whether or not they're seeking it, I'm not entirely sure. But there's a little link down here if you want to go and help out that enterprise. So does anybody else want to comment on that before we move on? Okay, in which case I'll take that as a no. The next one kind of comes courtesy of Michelle, but as you'll see almost immediately, it comes courtesy. It looks very similar to something that we were both involved in about 18 seconds ago, doesn't it? It looks almost the same as the screen we had a minute ago. There's Peacher and there's Michelle. Either of you, what are you up to? What are you doing here?
I'll leave it up to Peacher to tell. It's her idea.
Oh, she's pointing at you.
Yeah, because she's such a brilliant, flawless host. We basically, it's a 10 episode limited series on accessibility, like 10 major topics that we were planning to keep at within 20 minutes and, of course, failed. Failed, you know, massively because we were around 40 minutes. And it's podcast, it's broadcast rather live on the Postatus channel every Thursday at 3 p.m. Central European Summertime, which makes it 2 p.m. BST. And what's the time for you, Michelle, Eastern time?
9 a.m.
9 a.m. Okay, so it's a decent time. And first episode was on HTML. And we had been talking about it since March, and we kept, you know, what with work on Purub, what with, you know, life. And so we haven't really promoted it, but we are doing that now. So now you know, and you can come and watch us live because it's we like live. I mean, that's why we're here, isn't it, Michelle? And Michelle is a fabulous presenter, who knows way more than about accessibility than she thinks.
So probably the best way to find it is because the URLs for YouTube are always just gobbledygook. You know, there's always that bit at the end. Google, I'm imagining, is going to be your best friend here. If you go to search for Post Status YouTube, that's probably going to be the best way in. And then this
or follow. Yeah. follow Post Status on any social account as well, because I post all the things there.
Great. And this episode, if you want to catch it, this is the first one you said, right?
Which is why it was 42 minutes long, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it won't get any easier. This show started at about 30 minutes and now we're up to 90, everyone. But I figured that's about the sweet spot for this. The simplest way to accessible design is going to be the thing that you're going to Google, and that will be it. And yeah, you'll find Michelle and Peacher having a natter about accessibility.
And just to say something, a couple of things. That I have actually already edited the captions, Michelle, but I don't know if I gave you. So the on my, because it's also broadcast on my own YouTube channel, Peach and Harry, but and I was able to upload the captions to that and transcript. Anyway, I'll give them to you, Michelle. This is important because the auto-generated captions are known as craptions. And people rely on them. They really like them very much. So I'm not saying that my edit will be flawless, but it's been done already and it will be up soon for anyone who wouldn't be able to watch it without proper captions.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah, thank you so much. Right, I'm just going to put the screen away just for a quick brief moment because it's in. The community have decided. Sarah and Doc seems to be exceedingly popular. Friendly web guy said it was a bit new, but Courtney said, is my kids era and made by the BBC? How can it be made by the BBC and neither Tammy or I know anything about it? I don't.
Because you don't have young children now.
Oh, I see. No, that's true. Okay. All right. Got it. Maybe that's all it was. However, Andrew Palmer, breathtaking addition to the thing. Tomorrow's World. Now, Tomorrow's World is brilliant,
I rate you the egg race.
The great egg race.
There you go.
They're great. I can kind of vaguely remember the name.
Yeah,
I can't remember much.
We had to get an egg from here to here.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, to design like a system to transport the egg mechanically. Yeah, I remember. Honestly, what the heck was entertainment back then?
Just trying to make engineers out of everybody.
Cottage
that was
industry.
What the whole UK was.
Tomorrow's World, though, which Andrew Palmer is mentioning, was this TV show where they tried to predict what technology would look like in the distant future. And so for example, they would have like a CD 10 years before it became commercially available. You know, it was this prototype technology. But it is so fascinating looking back at previous episodes of Tomorrow's World, because now everything that they talked about is way in the rearview mirror. But how profoundly wrong they were about literally everything. Nothing that they said. You know, just things like the internet and how they predicted that would go. It's just so far of the truth. It's always more chaotic than their kind of like little stifled version of what it looked like. But good catch, Andrew. Appreciate it.
There was a snippet as well of like how they would have computers for men and computers for women and different things like that.
Yeah.
No. It was not... It was in Venera, let's just say.
It was the 70s.
It really was.
That was just common on British telly in the time. Tim Nash is in agreement. Tomorrow's World was such a huge influence for me as a teenager. Me too. And it is only with the benefit of hindsight that you look back and think, gosh, that prediction was weird. But at the time, it felt absolutely brilliant. Michelle, you're getting a bit of a hand clap from Marcus Benet. He says, thanks for shouting out the WP World. Yeah. Peak TV. Oh. Button Moon. Button
Spoon.
Moon was a TV show entirely made with the budget like of a Mars bar, because the whole thing was shot on what felt like a video camera, and it was all done with just off the shelf wooden spoons where they stuck an eye on it, painted some egg boxes in the background for the moon,
washing up lids and like a rocket.
Honestly, you could make Button Moon within 10 minutes of visiting a supermarket. It was anyway. Thank you for that, friendly web, Dave Gray. I appreciate it. Right, okay, let's get back to the show. That was a fun aside. Keep the comments coming. You see, it makes the whole thing interesting. Next up, though, is a bunch of stuff Tammy has brought to our attention. Well, the first one, at least, anyway, and then we do a couple of others. So, what's this? Maintain. So maintainers, but with a dot RS at the end. Yeah. So it's, imagine the word maintainers, but put a dot between after the E and before the R at the end. What is it?
So I had a, so my hub had linked me into an email and I was lucky enough to be asked by Nick to provide my story for this. I was super interested to do it. Little did I know, it was collecting the stories of open source maintainers. Jonathan Droz's was also, his story was collected. If you actually click it, it's so many good stories of people sharing their experiences of what it's like. And it's going to be hopefully a printed book. Across multiple open source projects. It's not just WordPress. It's so many different. I feel like a tiny little corner is WordPress, which is really beautiful to kind of see all these stories of open source. And hopefully, yeah.
No, just what's kind of curious as well is that the whole collection of stories is available so that you have to sort of give it proper attention, if you know what I mean. So it's not just like, okay, go to the web page and off you go. You're going to be reading this in like a Kindle or something like that, or in PDF format. Yeah. And I think that's quite nice. It gives it the sort of attention it deserves. Plus, you can style it, I guess, really within an inch of its life.
And it feels almost like of a time as well, because open source, these people have given their time as well. It's a bit of a coffee book, I think, going to be, because some of the stories are it's definitely dip-in-able. That's so a word.
You've just coined a word, and I like that, dip-in-able. Yeah, okay.
But it's all these faces. It's basically people's stories and their tales of it's not just how they contribute. It's their thoughts on what AI is going to do for contribution. What is the future of contribution? What are the hitches? All these different questions. And there were a number of different questions you could answer. So not one story is the same as well. So that's kind of also interesting and curious. And they're around the world, they're global as well.
Yeah, can I ask you a question out of this? And forgive me, this question might sound snarky, and that is exactly the opposite of what I intended to be, but I've got a suspicion it might come across that way. Why would you want to read this? And what I mean by that is it that it gives you, like, I don't know, you've just got like this sort of companionship, you understand their head, or is it more you're trying to see where these people are going?
So some of this is just getting the perspective of people that have contributed for such a long time.
Yeah, nice.
And if some of these people have contributed decades of their life and then some into open source, so been able to hear the voice that we might never interact in these projects, but these projects relate to the work that we do. And we're in our little corner of WordPress, scribbling away, doing all our work, and that's great. But these stories are important for us to hear. And someone's solved a problem in a different corner of open source, you can guarantee that. It also humanizes people by hearing their story as well. I think it's really important. Other people on this panel may have different perspectives, but that's what I think it's really important. Again, I don't think it's a book that you'll sit down from page to page, but I think dip in and kind of just discovering the stories.
And has it resonated with you? As you've been reading a few bits, have you been, kind of buoyed a bit by it? And that's lovely. Yeah, that's really nice. So, okay, just quickly, the URL again, and I'll put the screen back up. The URL was maintainers, and then just right at the end, make it so that it's
.rs. I think Courtney's comment is really summing up what I feel.
Lovely. There we go. So Courtney says, I love the learning from other OSS projects, so open source.
And it's really important because I came from another open source project into WordPress. And I never forget that. Like, I was in Linux before I was in WordPress. And many people were in other WordPress projects before we were in projects before we were in WordPress. That's like the way of open source. So just been able to stay connected with those, and we'll be contributing to other projects after or during. So it's just really important to learn.
I think it's also kind of easy sometimes to lose your way in open source software, isn't it? And to sort of feel a bit demoralized or something like that. So maybe this could be a good...
Or feel that it's only our project that this, or only our project that has that. No.
So thank you. That's great. And I know that Michelle loves stories and narrative and stuff like this. So I'm guessing this would be something that might appeal to you as
absolutely.
Well yeah Michelle Peaches already said she might be dipping in and out because she's got stuff going on in the background that needs to be attended to, so if that's the case, just forgive her, she's not sort of dropped off the planet. Okay, so there's the first one, that's maintainers. I will, I in fact I'm going to put that I'm going to download it quickly again so that it's on my screen when this finishes, because I want to get that onto my Kindle or something and check it out.
I've already done that myself.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice. Okay. There we go. So the next one then is kind of interesting. And I read this. I think it came from you, Tammy. And then it was kind of interesting that there was a cross post to something that you had written. Jonathan DeRosier, who's been on a variety of different podcasts that we've done in the past, he works for Bluehost. He's full-time sponsored into the project, and he works on Core. And he's written a post which I think is really worth a read, and it kind of fits very nicely with the last piece that we read. And it's about unactivated, or I suppose you could really classify that as anything, you know, people who are just not quite able to see themselves into the project on a regular basis. And he called it the ghost of unactivated contributors. And to sort of summarize, he's basically saying, you know, there's a whole host of different reasons why you might want to contribute, but there might be a whole host of reasons why you don't feel able to or comfortable to. You haven't got there yet. And this piece is all about how we can make sure that that massive untapped resource, which may or may not be tappable, could potentially be reached. And so he's got a whole piece about this and how people have got different paths. And I thought this was kind of interesting, this congestion at the top piece mm-hmm. that he talked about, where, you know, you often find that there's like a little cabal of people who are kind of running things, and when you actually start contributing, you feel that it's them and us a bit. And so how to sort of alleviate that a little bit, don't meet at the top, very much the same sort of thing, and so much more. It's definitely worth a read. But Tammy, you brought it, so tell us why.
I think it's really it's something that not being a blocker at the top is something so critical. Learning when to to be a mentor and when to need to activate is something so critical. You don't get it right all the time. But I go back to, I actually was inspired that the post I wrote that then inspired it. There was like, we were having some ping pong of inspiring posts, and I love that when that happens. Yeah, that one. So I love it when that happens online. It doesn't all happen that frequently. Was from Jonathan's post. This post was from Jonathan's. In looking back at my own props, I discovered that random button.
I know. I'm just going to keep doing it when you talk.
I discovered that it took me a while before I got a props, and I actually went into BuddyPress before I went into Core, and it made me reflect that there it could have been very easy for me to just have never got activated in this project, and that is something I reminded myself of again, and I really, really wanted to kind of like pivotal for this. And that kind of when I was writing maintainers was something that props is just one measure. And I think sometimes we get hooked up on it. It's one of the reasons I guess I subconsciously didn't look it up, because not everyone will ever get props. I didn't for a long time because I was in other areas of the project. But it really is important to recognize people and recognize when they're ready to take action, and also recognize when you are being a problem in their inaction. So yeah, there's a lot of different thoughts there, but other people probably have lots more thoughts. Hit that button.
I keep regretting pressing the button, because I kind of think the previous one was always, you know,
always another one, and I'm going to generate more. It's fine.
Now you see, I'm not so keen on nor that one. I want the bright green to come back. Oh, I'm not sure about that. No, that's not for me. Where's the next one?
Are you suggesting I make a save function? Am I going to do a burp button just for Nathan?
This was prompted by Tim. Nice saying, press the button, Nathan.
I'm not going to make a revert button.
Assuming that's what he meant. Thank you, Tim. But okay, so again, honestly, it's definitely worth a read. I think this piece is kind of aimed at people who are already in the project as much as it might be to people who are just kind of skirting around the edges of the project and don't quite know the way in. But Jonathan definitely pains to say, you know, so in your case, Tammy, imagine that you didn't, if there was just something that put you off, can you, like, you've done a lot, right? Can you imagine like how the project would have missed those contributions? We'll never know, but we know what you did. And so we know that that was all very valuable. And that could be a thousand times over, right?
Yeah. The thing is, the project will be always okay because it's an open source project and you have to like, no one is that special. As much as we like to think we're special, we're not that special. But it's more someone might be able to empower in a direction that would be pretty cool to go in. And that's what you have to think about. Not that, oh my goodness, this person's going to save something. So protect them at all costs. That's not what we're talking about here. It's more just like, it would be a shame. It would be a waste. That's what we're kind of talking about. So unactivated is really kind of the good way to think about it. And it's also just, we kind of talk about sustainability of contributors, and it's just such a waste when people are just left there. And they wander out. And I was, for a while, I was pretty unactivated. And I was just like, it's really loud over there. I don't want to be. So when I turned up to court, it was super loud. And I didn't want to be involved in it.
I ended up going
to Buddy Press because it wasn't loud.
So Jonathan's post, definitely worth reading. There's a lot of thought been put into that. And well done to Jonathan as well on his family holiday, managing to stick much to the chagrin of his wife. It's
a couple of thoughts, if I could intervene here. First of all, my brain went unactivated as in deactivated. So that's not the same thing here. So I want to make sure that people understand unactivated is kind of like not yet activated. There's so many ways to think about words like that. So I wanted to point that out first. And then the other was, we talk a lot at events, at in-person events, especially about this Pac-Man concept, which is leaving space open for others to join a conversation. And I think that there's some of that we not only do, I think we do that by default in some ways, but there are people for whom, even if you leave this huge gap, won't step forward unless they're invited. So we need to really kind of pay attention to the people who aren't loud people like me and look to others who are doing things quietly and invite them into spaces like these kinds of spaces to encourage them to activate and become part of, if they want to, right? There's people who don't want to and never will, and that's fine too. But we need to make sure that we are paying attention to those around us, not only to make room for them, but to invite them in.
I want to draw attention to something you just said there, Michelle, because I know that in our community, I mean, there's people like me, I'm quite gobby, you know, I talk a lot and what have you, but I think we are a community of predominantly quite quiet people. You know, when you go to WordPress events like WordCamps and things, there is a lot of politeness and deference and, you know, just everybody making sure that everybody gets a chance to talk. What I'm trying to encapsulate is that I think there's a lot of people who are quite quiet, maybe wouldn't want to put themselves forward because they're just not boastful or confident in that way. And so I think this unactivated thing is actually, really quite important, and I hadn't really given it the same thought until you just said that. So that was
good. I think I would also reflect that sometimes we can be too helpful, and I mean that with an open heart. Sometimes we can want to do all the things and be overly helpful and step into roles where we see there's a gap, but if we step into them, then there's not a gap for people to be able to take them, because we're like, I'll do this because I'm going to be super helpful and I'm going to take on things and I'm going to be but then that can tire you out. And then you can find out you're doing all the things, and then suddenly you become a block, and then you feel bad because you're a block. So I think we're full of quiet, helpful people. And that's maybe the worst situation, because people will just take on burdens to think that they're being super helpful. And it turns out if they didn't need to take on all those burdens anyway.
There's something coming up a little bit later. I can't remember when about that. And actually, a few of the bits and pieces that we've got today kind of really coalesce around this thing. So what Tammy was saying and what Jonathan was saying. And so I guess this is a fairly neat segue into this one. So should you be looking for something to do and you don't have something to do, it may be that WordPress 6.9 is something that you want to get involved with in whatever capacity you feel able to. So if that were the case and you're listening to this, here is a post. It's by Jeffrey Paul. It came out just the other day, so it's hot off the press. WordPress 6.9, which is going to be the next major release in December. Let me check that. Yeah, December 2nd, hopefully. There is a proposal and call for volunteers. I won't labor the point, but you can see on the screen if you can see it, but if not, throughout the latter part of this year, there will be a bunch of release candidates and a bunch of beta and alpha testing periods in which hopefully will lead up to the December release of WordPress. And that doesn't happen by accident. It's led by an army of volunteers, many hundreds in many cases. And if you would like to be one of those, this post is available for you. And if you wish to, the easiest way to get involved is just to go to the post and submit a comment saying that you would like to be involved. Some things that you may wish to know. So, for example, some of the leads that are up for grabs are things like, well, some of the areas that are up for grabs are things like design lead, tech lead, triage lead, test lead, release coordination. So there's a whole bunch of different things. There's not too many boxes, but there certainly are. There's pretty much a box for everybody, depending on your area of expertise and what have you. So that post was called WordPress 6.9 Planning Proposal and Call for Volunteers, and it's on make.wordpress.org. I don't know if anybody wants to add to that. Perhaps not.
Great opportunity.
The only comment is, if you've never done it before, you can say, hey, I don't necessarily want to lead something, but I'd love to be mentored. And that can be something that you can say. So you don't have to only be like, hey, I'll lead it.
And in a real great example of not leading from the top, this is fascinating to me. So okay, there are some people in the WordPress community who, in my head, somehow are like superheroes. One of those would be Ryan Welcher. And here's Ryan dropping into the comments, and he's saying he wants to help tech or triage, but exactly what you just said, Tammy, but he's never done it before. So he's saying, can I shadow somebody? And the same with, you know, Jonathan Bossinger and a variety of other people. So, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you've been around the houses. It may be that you this is your first, you know, your first rodeo, if you like. So, yeah, drop a comment in. And if you want to be shepherded by somebody, you can certainly request that. And there's you, Tommy. I'd love to be helpful in any way. Well, oh, that's nice. Anybody else? Shall we move on? Okay, we'll move on. Very similar sort of thing, really. That is just to say that WordPress 6.8.2 is at release candidate stage. This is actually a little bit stale now, so it may be that it's moved on from this at this point. But anyway, if you want to test the latest and greatest version of WordPress, we're in that period right now. I won't say any more than that, but you can go and check it out. Right. Back to the story that since when it is it September or something, 2024, it never ceases to keep on giving. This is the repository. Matt Mullenweg says WP Engine fight came after a lot of community feedback. And so this is Ray Moray writing a little bit about Matt. He came onto a very popular podcast. I forget which. I think it was The Verge, which is a you know, it's like a tech publication that's not the WordPress space, but it does occasionally do WordPress stories. But my understanding is it's massive. You know, it's like really big. So if you get featured on The Verge, your article is being read by millions of people. And Matt went on there and did a podcast episode and was pushed by the host, who's called Nilay Patel. And he was asking how all the brouhaha developed. And Matt made the point, well, he made a point that as far as he was concerned, that it was in the background, in his head at least anyway, there had been a lot of community discussion. I don't know anything about that, but anyway, that was his point. And then also he was asked about some things that have happened since then. And he was making the point that he, I think this is quite interesting, making the point that he's made a few gaffes since September 2024. One of them, he says, is he wishes that he had, well, to paraphrase it, he'd not spoken as much, you know, because there was this flurry of Matt, wasn't there, on social media in sort of October time. And I think some of those things he, I don't know if regret is the right word, but he's certainly sort of saying, you know, I've learned that you've got to not say quite as much. But also the other thing was around WordPress.org, where he was making the point that although he did say it belonged to him or something like that, or he owned it or something like that, he feels that the context of that was taken out of context. And certainly from reading this, the implication is that wasn't the context in which he meant it. Although I suppose technically speaking, if he's the person paying for the .org domain each year on a personal account, then it does in effect belong to him. Anyway, whether you are on one side of this argument or the other, you'll no doubt draw your own conclusions about that. But I thought it was worth mentioning. The article was called Matt Mullenweg says WP Engine Fight came after a lot of community feedback, and it's on the repository. You can just Google it, but it's the repository.email. Anybody want to add to that? And there was deadly silence. Well, let's move on. Okay, right. The next one. I think this is great. I'm just going to say that right at the outset. So brand new piece, 10th of July, Isotta Pereira. It's a community piece introducing WordPress credits, a new contribution internship program for university students. I don't know how long this has been in the making. I imagine something like this can't happen overnight. But this is the idea that the WordPress Foundation has launched this idea of WordPress credits, which is, I'll just read because it's going to be easier, a contribution-focused internship program that brings university students into the heart of the WordPress open source project. This is Nathan talking now. A very much needed thing, young blood. You know, I think there's not a lot of youth in the WordPress project at the moment, so this is quite a nice way to sort of inject that. Right, back to the article. While WordPress thrives on contributions from a global volunteer community, many students and newcomers face barriers to entry, such as a lack of structured guidance or real-world experience in open source project. This new program is designed to bridge that gap. The pilot program developed in partnership with the University of Pisa was announced by Matt Mullenweg on the stage at WordCamp Europe, which he was joined by Mary Hubbard. And it's available to any student in any field of study, which again is kind of interesting. There doesn't seem to be a sort of like, okay, only computer studies graduates may, or, you know, potential graduates may apply. And it involves a whole bunch of things, but it amounts to about 150 hours of community contribution. And the work which is being done is on the screen. It's things like translating interfaces or documentation, supporting product development or redesign, writing or editing content. And student contributions, whether code, translations, document, or educational materials, will be publicly visible. Maybe that's the bit that everybody actually cares about. And integrated into official WordPress projects and resources directly benefiting the wider community. So it's now, it's happening. University of Pisa are on it, and it sounds like there's a bunch of other, it says, interested universities can reach out with the form that's on the page. I just think this is really cool. I've never been through a tech program at a university which would have required something like this. But Tammy, before the call, you were saying internships, in your experience anyway, they were like mandatory. So something like this is a bit of a, would be very welcome, right?
Yes. I mean, mine was quite a while ago, being older. When I studied software engineering, I had to, I did it in a gaming studio, but honestly, the way that this is shaped up, it sounds way more practical than what I did. I ended up just working on a tool for gravity, and it was just like shoved in a corner, and it was learning experience, but it wasn't like real experience. So I do think that those internships can be incredibly useful for people when they are proactive. We've also had Google Summer of Code before as a project. So I think it's important for us to remember that we have done tangent to this. I think it's really important. We're going to work out how on earth this happens, ifs, buts, and whys. But for me, I'm really excited about, from a student perspective, I go back to when I was studying, if I'd have had this opportunity, it would have, I was using early open source because it was all I could afford. I couldn't afford a copy of Windows and all those kind of things. So it will keep me able to work in these spaces, and it will show me that I can have a career in these spaces, and it will show the potential of that. So I'm really excited about that. I also love to see like product development, design, and the wide plethora of things there. So I'm super excited about it. We're going to work out the ifs, buts, and whys, and I personally don't want to ever presume that because I don't know.
I just raise a comment. Thank you, by the way. Sorry, Tammy. Thank you. Courtney Robertson said, I love the internship initiatives. I do think it deserves a post on WP Foundation's own blog too. What do you like? I really don't know anything about internships at all. What are you like? obviously, apart from the actual experience, are you hoping out the back of this to get a piece of paper, basically? Is that the idea, that you can hold a thing or you know, have some official accreditation which says you did this and you can literally prove it.
Get testimonials of like your work, which you can then take to future employees.
Right.
If an internship is done correct, you get testimonials and you get sample work for your portfolio. It'd be code, be it designer samples, whatever you have. So you don't just leave with just like course samples, you leave with real world work, and you can point to. So when I left, I could point to a product that I'd been part of that I could say like that product I'd worked on. And that is incredibly powerful for people.
Yeah. Letters of recommendation for future employers, you know, real world experience, which just counts for so much more than classroom learning, I think is what is so important about it.
Yeah. And it sounds like, so again, just to paraphrase the only bit that I've highlighted here, and also I should have said that if you get into this, it's not kind of like it's a bon fight, figure it out for yourself. It says here, interns are guided by an experienced mentor specific to their chosen area and supported by a dedicated WordPress Foundation contact person throughout the program. And then again, all the contributions and basically the work that you have done will be publicly visible and integrated into WordPress projects, should it, I guess, make it. And they're looking for not only educational institutions to become involved, they're also looking to roll this out. Well, it says on the article, if a company is interested, they can also get involved. So maybe that's something that you or an organization that you work with could help with. I love this. Yeah. I just think it's great.
Yeah. So I'm just going to be slightly the voice of dissent in this.
Yeah, sure.
I think internships are great. I have never been lucky enough to do one, but I've given them in various positions, even as my own solo self. And the people that it was exactly as useful as you say. People, you know, who just say, I've only got a portfolio thanks to the internship that I did with you. Or for instance, when I was at the BFI, the British Film Institute, most interns would get a job after with the BFI because the process was, so it was as good as that. So I think it's great that I have a couple of things I want to say. One is about the fact that I do feel that right now there is still so much that is unclear about WordPress.org, about the foundation, how they interact with one another, that I don't want this to be slightly sweeping under the carpet the issues that a lot of contributors or ex-contributors due to the recent, you know, mayhem have. And if you don't want to open this, I'm absolutely fine with it. But the other thing that I just wanted to say it because it's, you know, it's been in the community there have been various people that have mentioned that. And I think it's a very fair thing to mention because we're not making it up. There is a court case. It's really unclear about WordPress.org. I'm not even going to go into what Matt said or didn't say. I'm not interested. But the other thing is that I really wish was made a bit clearer is that every time you have an internship, it's regulated wherever it is. So for instance, my niece, who's a scientist, has decided to do her last year of master's in France because she will get paid. She has to do an internship and in France, she will get paid. In Italy, which is where this is happening, presumably, I don't know because we're in a global world. I don't know what the rules are, but I know that in the UK, there are very specific rules. It can't be longer than 3 weeks without pay, after which it has to be paid. You have to provide lunch, dinner, whatever. And even as my own little self, I would just do it by the letter because it's meant to not create the opposite of meritocracy, a situation where only the people who can afford to do an internship do it, which is what used to happen in various sectors like journalism or the art world, for instance, which are sectors that I have frequented. So I'm just wondering how it's going to be regulated because it does matter. And I think
that's curious.
It works with the 3 weeks because so, when you think about it maybe it's a bit longer there. But anyway, so that's what I would like to find out. And how do we fit it with the... It is a legitimate question. There is a lot still up in the air, and how does this fit in.
You're definitely not the only person, because there was a few people on Twitter who, I can't remember where I saw it or who it was, but there was a few people asking about something, yeah, I can't remember, but something about that, like, was this kind of like free, I think they classified it as like free labor or something along those lines. So my question about that would then be, like, does the jurisdiction of where you're residing matter, or is it the jurisdiction of where the in this case, the website which is pushing this out is obviously WordPress.org. I don't know which entity would be the deliverer of this, but would it matter where they're positioned if it was entirely free, but it was
there's
made
a number
clear?
Of different things there, right?
Yeah.
No, I can't. I don't have your answers. Things are going to work out as we discover them, I guess. But also, this goes down to, in general, contributions. We need to identify the project areas overall to be able to match contributors. That is happening more and more on a project basis. So the more that happens, for me personally, open brackets, personal opinion. Things like this make it even more important and even more critical for us to do it as a project. So that is also why I'm even more pleased that something like this is happening, because it adds more weight to roadmaps. Is anyone drinking tea? Please have a sip, because I mentioned that word again. And for organization of that type of work, because when people turn up, there are requirements. You do have to have, when we do Google Sum of Code, you have to have, and projects were used in the post. We do need to match people to work. We need to have mentors that can pick up things and not just go, here's a mass of tickets. And I don't think that's what is being suggested, or at least that is not at all my interpretation, that anyone is suggesting that we go, here's track, YOLO. Because that feels cool, not an internship. But again, we've got to work this out collectively. I do believe we can, but it involves everybody listening and everybody just sitting in a space of, we all agree we need to do something about learning. We have an ability to provide a space where people can, for their courses, come and provide. They're going to teach us just as much as we're going to teach them, because they know about practices that we don't know in this space. Like, I am so expecting to be put wrong. Like, I'm going to be like taught what I don't know. I'm going to be taught how old I am and some of the ways that I know things. I expect to feel very old very quickly in this process. But that's just part. Nathan's very distracted by weather, maybe.
Oh, yeah, horrific.
It's an English person distracted by weather, you can tell.
I'm suddenly concerned that I threw all the windows open before we started recording. Okay. Now it is utterly caning it down. And I'm wondering if I should go and close some windows lest I get electrocuted. I might decide on that in a minute.
We are going to be shown the way going forward. I don't think that answers your questions, though, but it just knows that I don't think anyone has the answers today, but I don't think we get there by closing to either side of it.
I think Peacher, though, she sort of, there sounded, Peacher, like you were concerned that raising those questions would be a bit controversial. I don't really think they are. I think they're exactly what everybody needs to be talking about, right? Like, who's giving this out? How will people be paid for it? Will it be an entirely voluntary thing? What's the qualification that you get at the end? Is it legit? I'm presuming it coming out of the University of Pisa, I'm presuming also, that there is some backwards and forwards, you know, making it official.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also, in my experience, whenever I've had an intern, my God, it's a lot of work. If you want for it to be worth it for them, as you were saying, Tammy, they need proper mentoring. It's almost a full-time job to spend time after an intern. So there's that as well. But I am also, I really want to say that it is absolutely legitimate to say, okay, it's great. Absolutely. And I totally agree with you, Tammy. We need young blood because of various conversations that have been had on the subject, such as it's hard work to set up a WordPress website. Are we going to be superseded by the one button micro website creation, such as Instagram or whatever, or TikTok or whatever. So I completely agree. But at the same time, we do have issues. There is a contributor crisis. In that kind of frame, I think it needs a conversation. That there's also that. But yeah. In general, I would, you know, in any other kind of situation, I would say fab. Absolutely fantastic, and agree with all that you've been said, that all of you have been saying.
It's
I don't want for us to forget that there is a crisis in the community.
No, I think, you know, that's why it's important to have people with alternative opinions on shows like this and talking about it, because, you know, it's good that you've raised it and you've obviously got legitimate concerns about that. So go to the story. I'll just pop it on the screen again. If you have any thoughts around that, it was published 10th of July, Isotta Pereira. It's called Introducing WordPress Credits, a New Contribution Internship Program for University Students. I can definitely say that on social platforms, there was a certain degree of talk about exactly what you were talking about, Peter.
I worked in higher education for 25 years.
Oh!
In registration and administration. And so I just want to add that what we're seeing is the news piece of it, right? This is the announcement piece. I have zero doubt that there is so much documentation that's piling up about how these things work. And it's just not public yet because it's still being worked out. And every university is going to have a slightly different way that they are going to interact with it because of their country or their even state and city here in the United States, as far as regulations and things like that go. So I think there's so much more to it they can't possibly put in their initial, you know, article that they're putting out to us. But I have zero doubt that there's a lot of documentation and that we will learn more as time goes by.
Okay, so that then raises a question for me, which would be this one. In order, so if, let's assume that what Michelle just said is true, that there's been a lot of backwards and forwards and there's documentation piling up in the background. Do you think, Michelle, and maybe Peter and, well, Tammy, all of you, do you think that it would be a good idea to share that stuff, even though normally it would be slightly uninteresting to share it? Like all of the due diligence, I think we're presuming it won't be shared at this point.
I believe it will. And okay. I think if you even were to click through and look at the applications, like if you're even interest forms, you're going to start to see some of the information being collected there is information that's going to feed into the documentation and find those matches and compatibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we need to be just one thing. I think, and it's not a counter or balance, but using words like crisis, we need to be a little bit personal opinion. As someone that is a contributor, a crisis can feel differently depending on where you are. So I think that is really important. I think just as you need to kind of like recognize that, and we need to keep projects perspective, I think. These conversations should never exclude anyone. I hate the term sides because that is not a word to use in this day and age. That is not like anything, because the world out there is bad enough without us in our project doing sides and stuff. We don't need to do that. Like I'll just like show my field of bunnies if we start doing that. Like
I have whole videos of rabbits and cats and dogs.
Yeah, but when terms like that are used, it can be quite reactionary either side, I think.
Okay.
So just being kind of cautious.
I will raise it on the screen one more time. I don't think there were any commentaries more about that. No, I think that's fine. In which case, we will just quickly move on. There's only about 25 minutes left. Okay, so this is interesting. This is an event that I had not heard of. And then digging a little bit deep, I hope you can hear me. The rain is literally brutal.
I think it's coming for me because I've got the dark clouds going.
It's really coming down in shovel loads. So this I had not heard of, and it's an event. And I think the reason I hadn't heard of it is because it's not, and I'm going to raise my you know, my what is that called when you do that?
Air quotes.
Yeah, there you go, air quotes.
That's bunny it. Quotes.
Yeah, the bunny quotes, the bunny air quotes. It's not an official event, if you know what I mean. So it's being organized by the organizers and they're sorting out sponsorship and selling tickets and all that kind of stuff. But I just thought I'd mention it. So it is, it's called WP, and forgive me for butchering the name, I probably am. It's called SWOMI, S-U-O-M-I. It's happening in later this year.
Helsinki.
Do you think I got that right? Helsinki, yeah. So Finland. And if you want to get involved, you certainly can. This is the call for speakers that I'm showing now, because obviously, you know, they would like to have speakers, much like any event does. And they'll give you a bit of a rundown as to what you need in order to provide them with that information. But this is it. Yeah. WP SWOMI. It says is an independent volunteer organized event that brings together WordPress enthusiasts around Finland and Nordics. It's happening on the 10th of October, 2025 in Helsinki. So I'm guessing it's a, you know, it's an in-person event. I don't know what tickets cost or anything like that. But I did wonder if this is more of a trend that we're going to see. What I mean by that is independently organized events. I know that we've had these in the past and we continue to see them, but I wonder if we're going to see more of them at the moment for some of the reasons that Peacher was mentioning. You know, people are concerned about various parts in the community and the way that things are held together, the cogs that move in the background and that kind of thing. So anyway, there is that. And then kind of unrelated, but also kind of related in that it's an event. I stumbled across this one as well. Somebody mentioned that they'd heard of Web Directions on our panel before we hit record. I had not, but this is called Web Directions NQ. It's happening in Sydney. I think I mentioned it on a previous episode, but because it kind of related to the previous one, I thought I'd mention it again. And they're at the point where they're taking on sponsorships and all of that. They look like a fairly robust organization because Web Directions seem to do conferences about all manner of different things, including, you know, web developer summits and engineering AI and all of that kind of stuff. But if you are in the district of Sydney later in the year, it's going to be end of July is when they're closing the speaker submission process. So anyway, there you go. Anybody want to comment on those, or shall we move on?
I think that our ecosystem, just like we saw so many free plugins, and then there was, you know, the marketplace, and people are able to make money off it. I think that that's one thing we're seeing also. Whether it's, you know, whether it was a catalyst of things that have happened in the past year or not, I think that we're starting to see people realizing that you can, yes, absolutely donate your time and efforts to these events, but you could also spin up events that could make money and you could make a living off of doing things like this. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
James Lau is joining us and he says, loves the growth of these alternative WP events. And it's often said it's a good option compared to typical WP events. So that's quite nice to hear.
It reminds me of WordCamp. Is it Nordic? That was really nice back in the day. So
And was that, again, organized independently just by the organizers?
No, I don't think so. It was a long time ago. it was in the before times, before COVID. time long ago.
But I
think it's a healthy thing. Like, we got LoopConf and different things happening. I think it's good. I think finding a balance between them also helps, particularly if we're relating to the other post, having people in education, having the balance of both of the events. Maybe we see more people coming to work camps if we have more people coming from education. That could see a resurgence in certain areas. We might actually be able to get some easier premises. Remember back in the day, we used to, particularly in England, we used to use like education for the hosting, and then it just became non-affordable. If we're having closer ties to education, that might be something that we can lean into again. So it could be good for the project all around there.
So Marcus, you have your orders from Patricia. She says you need to add it to the WP world if they're not there already or in pending status somewhere. So two events, this web directions event.
It's nice to see more events going on in different locations as
Yeah,
well.
Nice. Well, especially in Australia, because Australia, yeah, I think, was one of
the... where I'm going. Like, bless them. They don't get much.
I know they had a recent WordCamp, but prior to that, I think basically COVID just put the ice on absolutely everything. So anyway, there you go, Marcus. Patricia says, pop that into the WP world. Right. Anything else, or should we go on? Okay. I really like this, and I have absolutely no idea why this hasn't happened. Obviously, I know why it hasn't happened, probably because the idea didn't come up or there hasn't been any time to do it. But now that the idea has been suggested, I can't see why the heck this shouldn't happen almost immediately, if you know what I mean. So this is being reported again by Ray in the repository. It says, new proposal aims to bring phased updates to WordPress.org plugins. So obviously, if you get a free plugin at the moment, you've got, you've got a whole variety of options, what with FAIR and all that kind of stuff. But traditional way of doing it is to go into the dashboard and install something out of the .org repo. And then once you've got it, if it's updated, you'll get an update. And it's as simple as that. You can either do it automatically or do it manually. But the idea of this is sublime. So a new proposal to introduce phased plugin rollouts to the WordPress.org plugin repo has sparked an active technical discussion on Track. The feature proposed by WordPress co-founder Matt Mullenweg would allow plugin authors to gradually release updates to a subset of users before rolling them out to everyone, mirroring practices used by Apple's App Store and Google Play. So if you've got a Mac and you've got an app and you really like it and you want the bleeding edge, you can enroll in, I think it's called Runway or Air something. I can't remember what it's called. Test Flight, that's what it's called. And if you're on the Test Flight program, basically you'll get advanced releases of that software and you can test it. And if you like, you're sort of like a guardian, making sure that it works and submitting feedback. That's the idea here. Now, there is, as far as I could read from this article, at least anyway, it doesn't say specifically how that would roll out. In other words, would you have to enroll and say, for this plugin, I want to get the early updates or the phased updates or whatever it's called? Or would it be more like the plugin developer says, we want .org to roll out 5% on day one, another 5% on day two, and slowly ramp it up, that kind of thing? You got a whole bunch of plugin authors who drop into the conversation. So Syed Bulkey from Awesome Motive says he supports the idea of like 1%, 5%, 10%, finally building up to 100%. And Elementor, sort of same kind of thing, putting their weight behind it, saying this would be a great idea. Because obviously if they put out a release where there's a problem that they didn't expect, suddenly, what is it, Elementor, I don't know, 30 million or something websites are experiencing a problem which might have been avoided. So like, if anybody can come up with a reason why this isn't a good idea, speak now. But I think this is a good idea. What do you reckon? Nobody reckons.
Oh, I think it's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, I phrased that question all the wrong way around, didn't I? Yeah. I was just thinking back, anyway, carry on. It's a good idea. Would you want to go for the kind of like opting in thing? Would you want to declare yourself as a person of interest? Like, I want to be the one for this plugin? Or should it just be
Depends on what you're doing. Would you?
Yeah.
It's that thing. Do you run Trunk on your client site and all those kind of things? Like, would you put this on a mission critical site? Would you go live with different things? And like, you're going to decide where you put this, right? But if you're creating a product that is maybe focusing on the Elementor ecosystem, or and you're not yet in their program and you want to aim for it, being able to do this could help you. Things like that, like as you're aiming for these different ecosystems, and I'm calling them ecosystems because some of these are big enough to be ecosystems. They truly are. Ecosystems in an ecosystem. Don't know if there's probably a physics name for that that I'm missing. But yeah, I think it's great. It's also great from a usability perspective and testing from the company perspective. Like, I would, if I was making a product, I would so want this to be easier on testing load, on support load, on feedback, all those kind of things.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I suppose what I'm thinking as well is, if I could nominate myself not to be on a particular, I don't know, I don't want to be in the first 5%. I would also have that assurance that, okay, I know that the plugin update that I'm about to get.
Or maybe you want one site that you want 5%, one site you want 20%.
Right. But I would have that assurance that, okay, yeah. I'm pretty confident that this has now been tested for bulletproofness on a variety of different sites. Whereas every time a plugin update rolls out at the moment, all I know is they've got an update and whoever they've got.
And you hope they've got.
Yeah, and you hope, right? You hope that they've done their testing. But, you know, we all know that things can go wrong. So I think it's a great idea. Michelle? Feature.
Yeah, I think it's great too. I have a plugin in the repo that's very, very tiny and doesn't actually need that because it's simply a fork of Hello Dolly. But if it was anything more than 30 lines of code, I would be looking for something like that as well.
Yep, agreed. Feature, anything? No, okay. All right, there we go. So it's a proposal at the moment. Let's see if it materializes. I don't know what the technical burden will be on .org in order to pull that off, but that seems like a thing which I am expecting that will drop at some point in the near future. So block-based themes have been a thing for quite a while. The one that seems to be getting the most attention, and I would put this down to the developer, Mike McAllister, doing a fabulous job of putting together, well, first of all, he's got a really amazing product, I think, but he's also very, very proactive in terms of engaging on social media and putting together documentation and whole courses around full site editing to sort of bolster that promise of Ollie, the theme that we're talking about will be great for you. He has released a post this week in which he goes into the data, if you like, for 1 year of Ollie Pro. So he brought Ollie out, managed to get a whole bunch of people on board, and then, you know, you need to make a living out of it. So Ollie Pro came along, and if you're an Ollie Pro user, you'll know what that does. And if not, you can go and check it out on their website. But the bits that I'm interested in here are the numbers, really. And he goes into what Ollie Pro has now managed to gather. And he says here, the numbers don't lie. Before we dive into the features, let me start sharing some numbers that really show the impact Ollie is having in the WordPress community. The free Ollie block theme now has over 5,000 active users. That's 5,000 people building beautiful websites with our little theme. And then he says, and Ollie Pro, we've crossed 500 paid subscribers milestone, and we're growing more every day, with the next target being 1,000 subscribers. And then he goes on to list some of the other things that he's done to bolster his credentials, you know, as a theme developer and somebody that's going to support you through the transition over to full site editing and block-based themes and patterns and all of that kind of stuff. But for me, the numbers were quite interesting, because when you go to the repo and download a theme, let's say a really, really popular theme, something like Astra or something like that, you obviously see that the numbers are really, really high, you know, into the many, many millions. And so that's kind of like, that's kind of where my head ends up thinking, oh, these, some themes can get millions of downloads. And so when I saw the Ollie post, I thought, oh, that's not as many as I had originally thought. But obviously Mike is entirely content with it, really bullish about it, hoping to grow it. That it sounds like I'm being a bit of a curmudgeon there and I'm sort of pouring water on his fire. I don't mean it to come out like that. But Tammy, as somebody in this space, full site editing, block based themes, and all that, what do those numbers say to you? What are you thinking?
Yeah, before I dive in, I think Peter, you had a comment about this as well. You were kind of had an instant reaction, and then I'll kind of go in.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for remembering that. I just want to say publicly thanks to Mike, because I think that this theme is just so nice and easy to customize. I teach a class here in a local business school, and they do digital marketing. So I teach them a few things, and part of that is building a WordPress page. And I use Ollie because it's the easiest that I found to base. So there's a design that we look at, and we try and find. I guide them to find a template that we can customize based on the design that exists. And Ollie is just the easiest. So I just want to, I thought that the numbers would be higher as well, just because I think we're so self-centered. I think I love using it, therefore many more people should.
Right, that's, yeah, exactly. And, that. Yeah.
But I just want to publicly, you know, I haven't I will have to buy it just out of saying thanks for making the teaching easier for me. So I think it's such a neat little, and if you're not familiar with Gutenberg, it is an easy one to use. It doesn't make it hard at all to even to delete a block or turn it into another block. It's just, it's great. So yeah,
I would just add before Tammy joins that's in that he's got this whole kind of academy where he's yes, he's gone to great lengths to produce freely available content, not just spanning, you know, it's not like promotional Ollie stuff. Is there's a load of content in there about the general approach to how WordPress is, you know, what the UI is like and how to get to certain areas and how patterns and all of that kind of stuff.
And so that is
right. Sorry. Over to you.
Yeah, that's part of it. And I just think, so to me, it, on my own sites, I'm going to do Wackadoodle or hand brewing, but if I have to, I've used this on sites. It's my go-to. If I'm just like, grab a theme and go. Like, and I think that's a testament. Like, can I? Yeah. Will I on everything? No, I'm going to grab something that's doing it right. Like, and doing it native and working, like, because it's light and because it does just enough. Like, it isn't a framework. It isn't kind of doing extra. It's that light. I'm not, the numbers feel about right to me, and I'm going to kind of tell you that, and it might be because of the work that I do, because I focus on distribution of plugins and themes, so that might also be why. It is because those numbers where you see the ridiculous numbers generally involve, they've got hosting contracts, so they're being done as default with hosting, or they've got other kind of agreements of distribution in place, and that's how the numbers are kind of like increase, or they've been around a lot longer. And you have to think that Ollie feels like it's been around a long time because Mike has done such a good job, but it hasn't been around that long because he's just done such a good job. And that's incredibly important. One was not that far away from Ollie. So I also maybe don't even want Ollie to have that number unless it's also that they're paid, because I think the having that number and it being free is an entirely different problem that someone like Mike would have, because what he's trying to do is sustain a business from this. So him having a sustainable business from this, and this being a product, is what is really in like, personal opinion again, is what I would think would be important. And again, what this shows me is that themes done in a productized perspective have a business. So he is doing what I always recommend, which is not just have like, not just slap a style on it and call it like romance or call it like rose or boat. He is providing a system. It's a design system underneath that you can grow and extend. You can have patterns, it's longevity. He's creating an ecosystem of his own in doing this. And it is tangent to, it's running in parallel, sorry, tangent's one word, but it's running in parallel to core, incredibly native. He is going to be able to partner in different ways. I'm excited what happens from here, considering one's only recent. But yeah, it's, this is 1 year as well. Notice the title of the post.
Yes, that's true. This is the pro version.
And, 1 year. And I think that that's the context here. I love this post as well. I wish more products would write as transparently as this, because this helps. As someone that I like, I nerd out about product making. I'm just like, like this. The fact that there's a post like this is just great for other people when they want to like build products. They can see this and they can be like, okay, this is real. So yeah, being able to have stats and realism for this. And then the education, I think that's the key. It's an area that people don't know necessarily they've got a problem or they need a solution or they need a quality solution like this. So he's now providing the education to show that they need the quality solution. So it's twofold.
So I think the bottom of it is, well done, Mike, you know, producing a very, very honest and frank
swag. Like, was it a year ago at Where Can't You Ask? He had little Ollie boards.
That's right. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
They were like the best swag ever.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty good. Those little finger things. Yeah. I remember those. So well done. And let's hope it continues to grow. Obviously, you know, you're 1 year in. I'm imagining it will continue. Okay, we're very, very short of time. So we'll just quickly rip through the next few. The first one is, we highlighted this very briefly last week, but WooCommerce 10.0 was delayed. Hopefully it'll be dropping today, according to this article. There were some errors that crept their way into the code base, let's just put it that way, and they have now hopefully been removed. So if you're a WooCommerce user, you can expect that. This probably won't be of great interest to a lot of people, but I use this on a very frequent basis, so I'm kind of excited. This is a plugin called Newsletter Glue. It was originally developed by Ahmed and Leslie Sim. It's now been handed over to new custodian, Tyler Channel. I'm not entirely sure how you pronounce it. And they're obviously taking this in a different direction. It's a plugin which basically enables you to create a post in the WordPress block editor. And then what you see in the block editor, if you use their blocks, gets directly sent to your, I don't know, MailChimp ActiveCampaign. And you get a one-for-one copy. So you can produce a WordPress post knowing that the exact same thing will go out as an email, because the blocks that you can use will confine you into what's possible to be read in an email client. It's brilliant. I really like it. And they've decided to add in some extra features. If you're, I don't know, if your newsletter, for example, has ads in it and you're getting sponsored, that will hopefully be taken care of fairly soon, as well as a bunch of analytics and, yeah, merge tags, which haven't been available until now, so you can put them
back. Is it worth saying that Leslie's doing Eventcoy now?
Oh, it is, yeah. So Leslie hasn't just sort of abandoned the WordPress project. She decided, they started working on it, I think, before she sold Newsletter Glue, and there's a platform, a plugin that she's working on called Eventcoy, K-O-I, which I think is, like, if it's not released already, it's like darn close to being released. I think it might be in beta or very close. And that plugin is, I think, Meetup, I guess. You know, the idea is you'd be able to create Meetup or Eventbrite or something like that, but all inside your WordPress dashboard. As always, she's doing it in the open, which is so brave of her, I think. Really, you know, putting a plugin out update by update on Twitter and things. That's it's worked well for them, hasn't it? Anyway. Newsletter Glue, there's that update. And what else have we got? This one I just thought was worth mentioning. If you've got a website and it is being absolutely hammered by AI, this plugin might be worth a look. I've not tried it. I just came across it and thought it was interesting. It's called Dark Visitors. Excellent. and the idea is that it will give you data, stats, you know, analytics, basically, on which AI agents are pounding your website. And it makes the bold claim right at the top. It says bots now make up half of your website's traffic. Honestly, please stop. And obviously, you know, the environmental impact and all that. No, Tammy's shaking her head. Do not. I want them to stop to some extent. And this plugin will allow you to do it. Have a play. Feedback to me. You never know. I might get the developers on a podcast or something like that. But I thought that was worth mentioning.
That kind of looks like toast.
What does? Yeah. Oh, it does a bit. Yeah. Or it looks like an old Marshall speaker stack or something.
Sorry.
Like that. I'm with you. So anyway, there's that. Anything on that before I move on? Quickly, last one.
I recently invited people to check my 404 on my website, which drove up traffic to my 404 page by 436 visitors in one week.
Ideal.
That's you just should count it, 404.
I know, right? Okay, I'm going to go on a bit of a ramble, right? Because, okay, oh, this God. Is fascinating. I know, I'm so sorry, Tammy. So the AI stuff, whilst beguiling, is also like crazy making if you're a content creator, because the promise of Google was, you let us scrape your site, we will return visitors, you know, and it was more or less a one-to-one relationship. You know, you create content, we'll send you visitors. And then like Google started to poison their own waterhole by kind of scraping your content and surfacing it on their UI so that they didn't need to get to your content. But now AI has really supercharged that. And Anthropic, so Google, if you imagine the fraction of one-to-one on Google, the Anthropic data is something like, for 30,000 times that they scrape your website, they will return a visitor. And for Claude, it's slightly less. Anyway, all the algorithms, all the different LLMs have got different data, but Anthropic is particularly bad. It does bring into question whether or not content will be something which is something that people want to consume, or whether they'll just go and get it from an AI. We will see. But that's where this plugin idea came from.
But they're still consuming it through AI.
Yeah.
They're just consuming it in a different...
Yeah, but I suppose the fear is that if you can't get visitors to look at your website, and that really is how content creators...
it rules out the traditional mechanism
exactly that
delivering over your website.
Exactly so that. Figure out. Yeah.
Yeah, but that didn't originally exist either.
No. Anyway, it gives me concern, and I think it's got quite a few people in, not just like in the WordPress space, quite a few people out there online just sort of slightly concerned seeing it as a, you know, people are creating plugins like this, for example, because they obviously see that there's some harm to be mitigated. We'll have to see how it all falls out. Okay, last one then, before we finally end it, is Bernard Cao. CAU. He's producer. I thought it was fascinating. KAU. That's right. Yeah. KAU. He has produced a piece this week. So Bernard's been in the WordPress space for ages and ages and ages, and only figured out in the last few weeks that the WordPress trash was like something which WordPress gets rid of. It's not a place where you can store stuff that you don't want to see. Like if you created a post, but it's just irritating you that you never finish it, it's always in draft. His thought was that you could put it into trash and then resurrect it at some point in the future when you weren't tired of seeing it in pending status or whatever. But no, it gets deleted by default every 30 days. You can change that to what the heck you like. But don't use the trash as like a recycle bin that you can permanently bring back, because I think to Bernard's disappointment, things that he thought were going to be there maybe weren't there. So there's a salutary warning.
I think there's room for a plugin to be built too.
Yeah, that's right.
Holding space that's not draft.
Like a recycle bin that never goes away. Well, there is does write, he shows you a little bit of code.
A junk drawer.
A junk drawer.
Or parking lot or shelf.
So totally apropos of nothing. Do you all have a drawer in your house which is the junk
drawer? Only one drawer?
Yeah.
We call ours the drawer of chaos.
Yeah. One in the kitchen, one in the bedroom.
Every room with a trunk. Okay. We call ours the drawer of chaos because you never open it twice and are greeted by the same thing.
I think it depends on the neurodiversity in your house, how many drawers of those you have.
Yeah, we have the one drawer.
Very true.
Pretty big.
Very true.
Okay. Anyway, there's a bit of code on the screen. I will link to it in the show notes. You can go and set it to, I don't know, 7 million days or something like that if you really don't want it to go away. But there you go. That's it. That's all we've got time for this week. Thank you for your comments. Oh, by the way, Patricia, Marcus says that Suomi, the event in Helsinki, is already on the site, and the other one will be added by the end of the day, so that's good. Who's worse, humans or bots now? I will leave you to decide.
Depends on the day.
Yeah. And about AI, can't wait for the open source and trained with multicultural, multilingual sets. Open source ethic. Yeah, I agree. I like the idea of local LLMs. That's where I'm hoping to get to at some point. Right. Thank you for commenting. Thank you to my three fabulous guests for joining me today. I hope that nothing burned down, Peter, in the background.
Is it soup you're cooking?
No, it's so delicious. I can't wait.
But it's there in the background. It needed maintenance, did it? It needed a stir.
It does need maintenance, but it's nearly there.
Okay.
I'm having a very late lunch or early dinner. Who knows?
That's nice. Well, okay. Hopefully you'll enjoy that. Only one thing remains, and that is for us to raise the I did a little flick there. That was I've never done that before. There we go. Thank you very much for joining us today. We will see you next week or a subsequent week on This Week in WordPress. Take it easy. If you guys want to stick around and have a natter, I'll see you in a few seconds. But the rest of you, sayonara. See you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.